This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses. Hey everyone, it's Dr. Jimmy. Welcome to episode 71. Today, we are going to have a discussion over starch, sugar, NSC, and even glycogen. So a few listeners have actually submitted questions related to this topic, but there was one listener that was actually brave enough to submit her question by voice message, and I felt like she did a really good job of summarizing the same questions that all of those other listeners had asked. So let's hear from Jessie in Canada.
Hey, Dr. Nichols. So I'm going to try to get all my questions out fast and as coherent as possible. So I've been doing a lot of research into equine nutrition and how to properly feed my horse, and I'm getting a lot of information suggesting that starch and sugar content is something I should really be concerned about. I have a performance horse. So my question is low NSC just optimal for all horses or just ones with sensitivities? Can I get the same energy to support my performance horse from fats, or do I need a higher, more accessible energy source from NSCs? What about glycogen restores in horses with diets that are low in NSC? I'm thinking it's a balance, but how do I know what that balance is? Anyways, absolutely love your podcast. Thank you so much for all the information. My last question is it possible to get bluebonnet feeds up here in Canada? Thank you.
Great question, Jessie. And I wish very much that bluebonnet feeds was available in Canada, but unfortunately it's not. However, we are working on getting a few of the more popular Stride Animal Health products approved to be able to move across the border. So once that happens, we will definitely be alerting everyone. We will probably be giving information out through the Stride Animal Health social channels and then also the email list. So if you guys have not liked the Stride Animal Health Facebook page or followed the Instagram channel, I highly suggest that you get on that so that you will see the information like that. All right, let's get into the show. Now, I will say you guys may want to grab a pen and a piece of paper because I'm going to be throwing a lot of information at you, and you may want to be ready for some note-taking just so that you don't have to come back and re-listen to the whole episode again. So let's start out with the first topic or question that Jessie had brought up, and that is, you know, is a low NSC diet optimal for all horses? And in fact, on that same note, there was another listener that had written in and said that they have heard trainers say that no horse should ever be fed a high NSC grain. And in fact, that particular listener went on to say that the trainers had said that, you know, all horses should in fact be fed as if they have insulin resistance. So, you know, kind of to summarize this initial topic is, you know, can you feed a normal horse like an insulin resistant horse and be okay? So my answer, it all depends. Okay. So I guess, you know, I think it's important for us to first understand what it means when we say feed a horse like their insulin resistance. So when I say that, what I mean is that we're trying to manage the NSC content of the entire diet. So if you were to look at the weighted average of the NSC value of the hay plus the grain plus the supplements, that total value, okay, would be less than 12% NSC. I guess there's probably another thing that we should clarify, and that is, what does NSC stand for and how do you calculate it? Okay, so NSC stands for non-structural carbohydrates. And basically, that is just the sum of starch and the water-soluble carbohydrates. Okay, so when you look at a hay or a feed analysis, you're gonna see two acronyms. One is ESC, and the other is WSC. So those are both measures of sugar. ESC stands for ethanol-soluble carbohydrates, and then WSC stands for water-soluble carbohydrates, okay? So it's the water-soluble carbs that we often refer to as sugars, but not always, okay? So let's say you go look at a feed tag. You might see the term starch and sugar listed under the guaranteed analysis. So those are the two values that you would add together to get the NSC of that feed. And it's generally assumed that the feed manufacturer is using WSC for that sugar term, but that's not always the fact. Okay. So if you have a horse that is extremely sensitive to sugar, be sure to call the manufacturer and have them clarify for sure whether they are using the ESC sugar value or whether they are using WSC as their sugar value. And you know, any good and reputable manufacturer should be able to tell you which of those they're using. And it's a good idea to ask, you know, if you do have an insulin resistant horse or a horse with a true sugar sensitivity, it's a good idea to get both of those levels from that manufacturer for the particular feed that you're interested in feeding. And just working with an equine nutritionist again to make sure that both of those numbers are correct or adequate for what your horse needs. So on the flip side, let's say you send your hay off for analysis and you get that lab report back. I personally, highly recommend using Equa Analytical. They're out of Ithaca, New York. They run their data and they provide the report information back in terms that are meaningful for horses, which is much appreciated as an equine nutritionist. So if I'm looking at one of those lab analysis, the two values that I'm going to be looking at to determine the NSC of that particular hay is going to be the starch number and then the WSC number. And when you add those together, that will give you the NSC percentage of that hay. Okay, so back to the question. Should all horses be on a low NSC diet? And back to my answer of it depends, right? What kind of horse are you trying to feed? Let's say, you know, if you're feeding a thoroughbred racehorse, right, it would be nearly impossible to provide enough calories and soluble carbohydrates to support that horse's needs from a glycogen standpoint and energy and calorie standpoint if you were feeding a diet that was designed for an insulin-resistant horse, okay? However, most of us are not feeding racehorses, so as a general rule of thumb, I like to see the average performance horse on a grain meal that is less than 22% NSC, and that's what I kind of term or call a quote low starch diet. So in all honesty, I really hate the term low starch diet. And I know that hate is a strong word, but I just really do not like it. And the reason I don't like the words low starch diet is because it doesn't have a standard meaning in the industry. Okay. So for perspective, corn as an ingredient just by itself has an NSC of about 75%. Okay. And oats are around 50% NSC. So, you know, you will find in the world of the internet that some people will be out there saying that oats are a low starch feed. And they're saying that because they're comparing it to corn. So yes, oats are 25% lower in NSC than or starch than corn. But that doesn't mean that they are a low starch feed. Okay. So then there's other people out there in the world of the internet that are going to be making posts and talking about low starch diets. And maybe they are feeding an insulin resistant horse that has a true medical need to be on a very low starch diet. Again, I'm using air quotes here, very low starch diet. And for those horses, they need that NSC to be 12% or less. Okay. So 12%. So, you know, everyone is going to interpret the term low starch differently, and that makes it really confusing for horse owners to have a conversation. It makes it difficult for feed manufacturers to describe their feeds. But, you know, so I guess kind of to state my view of how I sort through, you know, low starch, high starch, moderate starch, you know, if a horse has a true metabolic need for starch and sugar regulation, okay, they need to be on a controlled starch diet with no more than 12% non-structural carbs, okay, no more than 12% NSC. You know, your what I'm going to call a normal low starch diet will be anything under, you know, 20 or 22% NSC. Okay. That's the majority of your horses are going to fall into that category right there. Now moving into more of a moderate starch diet. Okay. That's where you're going to be bumping up in that range. So those, a lot of times those feeds are going to be anywhere from 25 to 40% NSC. And then when we're talking about, you know, high starch diets, those are going to be feeds that are generally going to range anywhere from 40, could even hit 75% NSC if, you know, someone were to be feeding straight corn to their horses. So, you know, again, those are just the numbers that I use personally, because there's not yet an established industry standard for it. Okay. All right. So the next piece of Jesse's question was, you know, can I get the same energy to support my performance horse from fats, or do I need that higher NSC feed? Now, I really like how Jesse used the term energy in her question. And that's one area that sometimes gets a little bit confusing when a horse owner and an equine nutritionist are trying to have a conversation. Okay. So as a horse owner, I will sometimes use the word energy to describe how my horse is acting, right? His personality, like, oh, he has a lot of energy this morning, or he's being very excitable. All right. But then when I go and change hats and I'm being an equine nutritionist, I will use the word energy, but what I'm really referring to is calories. Okay. So in the nutritional world, the word energy is just short for digestible energy, which is a measure of calories. So it's a measure of megacalories or kilocalories per unit of weight. All right. So like how many kilocalories are in a pound of whatever you're feeding. That would be a way that a nutritionist would use the word energy or talk about energy. So given that there are two very different interpretations of the word energy, I'm going to answer this question in two ways. So first, I am going to compare energy in terms of calories. And then second, I will answer it by comparing energy in terms of excitability or reactivity. Okay. So the first way, can I get the same calories from a high fat feed that I would get out of a high NSC feed? And the answer to that is yes, absolutely. Okay. So as a nutritionist, if we're going to pull out the starchy ingredients, right, if we're going to try to make that a lower NSC feed, we have to pull out the starchy ingredients, but that means we're also inadvertently having to remove a lot of calories. Okay. So the beautiful thing about fat is that it is 2.25% more calorie dense than starch. All right. So, you know, if you have to take out, basically take out a lot of starch, add back a little fat, and you're right back to that perfect calorie balance. So the answer, you know, can you get the same amount of energy in terms of calories from a high fat feed that you would out of a high NSC feed? The answer is yes. Okay, so let's look at that question in the other direction, all right, in terms of energy being excitability. Okay, so will I get the same level of energy or excitability from a high fat feed that I do out of a high NSC feed? And the answer to that is no, you will not. Okay, so for me personally, as a horse owner, I like my horses to be focused on their job, not, you know, jumping at every grasshopper that comes into sight, right? Well, when you feed a high NSC feed, your horse is going to get a sugar rush, and that's going to give them a level of excitability. Okay. It's going to be a lot like if you were to give a small child a bag of Skittles and a bottle of Mountain Dew right before bedtime for their snack, right? That I will tell you, that is not a situation that will end well for that child, right? I mean, those kids are going to be bouncing off of the walls from that sugar rush. Okay. And that same thing can happen for your horse if you are feeding a large meal of a high NSC feed. So on the flip side, fat does not create that excitability. It does not give those horses a sugar high. Okay. So if you opt for a high fat feed, that's low in NSC, that actually can help improve the mental focus of your horse. Okay, moving on to the next section of that question from Jesse. What about glycogen restores in diets that are low in NSC? That's a great question. I've actually seen a lot floating around the internet about that. And I think, so let's start by explaining what glycogen is and what it does first. So glycogen is, it's a large, highly branched sugar molecule. Okay. It's stored in the liver and it's also stored in the muscle of a horse. Glycogen is basically, it's made up of small molecules of glucose, right? So it's glycogen is just made up by simple sugars, branches and chains of simple sugars, which we call glucose. So glycogen that has been stored in the muscles is then basically broken down to glucose or those simple sugars. And that's what the body can then use as fuel during high intensity anaerobic exercise. Okay, so just to clarify, anaerobic exercise, that's the type of exercise that involves, you know, really short bursts of very intense activity. Okay, so if a horse were to, you know, go run a race, jump a fence, pull a log, those are all anaerobic exercises. On the flip side, you know, if you've got a Western pleasure horse or, you know, you're just walking or trotting your horse, those would all be examples of aerobic exercise. Okay, so anaerobic versus aerobic exercise. And if you want more details on those, there's tons of information about it. Just go Google it. So the interesting part about glycogen in horses is that, you know, researchers are actually finding out that there are some pretty significant differences in carbohydrate and glycogen metabolism between horses and other mammals. Okay. So, you know, as horse owners, I think we are all very notorious for learning and investigating things about our own health and then trying to go directly apply them to our horses. I am 100% guilty myself. Well, in the case of glycogen, okay, that's not a good thing because the conclusions that have been drawn from human exercise physiology do not necessarily apply to horses, and the research is starting to make that increasingly more clear to us. So, you know, we know that both humans and horses, you know, the muscle glycogen stores are depleted in both the short-term high-intensity exercise and also in that prolonged, what we call sub-maximal exercise, okay? So basically what that means is that in both anaerobic and in aerobic exercise, glycogen stores are going to be used. And that happens in both humans and in horses, okay? However, in horses, muscle glycogen synthesis, okay, which is just the fancy way of saying it, the ability for that horse to replace the glycogen that's been used, okay, it is 2 to 3-fold slower in horses than it is in humans, okay? So even when horses are fed high diets that are high in soluble carbohydrates, right, it takes horses way longer to replenish their glycogen stores compared to humans. All right, so a way to put that into an example format. When I was in high school and I was playing sports, right, we were always told, you know, go load up on carbohydrates the night before a big game or before you run a big race. You know, so go eat spaghetti, go eat pasta, really load up on those carbs the night before. Well, in horses, that concept does not apply. Okay. Horses are not able to increase glycogen replacement simply through consuming those large amounts of starches and sugars. Okay. This is a big misunderstanding from most people. Research shows, okay, that horses in intense exercise require 2 to 3 days to completely restore their depleted glycogen. All right. And researchers, so they did an experiment where they actually NG tube, nasogastric tube. So basically they put a tube straight into the horse's stomach and administered glucose in an effort to kind of mimic feeding a high starch, high sugar diet. And they found that did not increase glycogen production. Okay. So that simple experiment tells us that just pushing more sugar and more starch into that horse's diet is not going to improve their ability to replenish their glycogen stores. Okay. So horses that are worked really, really hard without adequate time to rest are going to be operating on depleted muscle glycogen stores. That's all there is to it. So the best thing that you can do to help your horse replenish glycogen is allow them the time to rest and recover. Okay. And let's not forget that riding in the horse trailer, that's aerobic exercise, right? So that's going to rob from those glycogen stores. So if you have a really long trip to a show, the best thing that you can do for your horse is arrive early enough that they have a day or maybe even two to rest and rehydrate before you compete. So, you know, that study that I had mentioned where the researchers showed that horses in intense exercise required 2 to 3 days. Okay, that particular study, I believe, was done on standard breds in harness racing. So that's pretty intense exercise. If you say maybe you have a barrel horse or a reining horse or something like that, it might not require, you know, 3 full days for that horse to recover, but it sure enough might take one. It might take a day and a half. It might take two. It might depend on the horse. So another thing that researchers have found is that when a horse is dehydrated, it takes much longer to replenish muscle glycogen. Okay. So in one study, researchers gave IV fluids to horses right after exercise, and they found that extra fluid increased that horse's ability to actually produce more muscle glycogen or replenish those muscle glycogen stores. So it is imperative to keep your horses drinking, not only when you are at a show or event, but also in the day-to-day grind of training and conditioning, okay? So this is where I really like to use a metabolic pH balancer in this situation. The one I lean on is called TurboMag BCAA. It's from Stride Animal Health. I really like that product because it can help hydrate your horse at the cellular level. Not to mention that product also contains chromium, which can help that body convert glucose more efficiently. So I'm a big fan of chromium, just for that reason, right? It helps that body replenish glycogen more effectively, which in turn allows us to be able to feed a lower starch and a lower sugar diet, which then helps keep the microbes in the hindgut happy, which then helps support your horse's overall wellness, their immune system, and their mental health, right? So there are three feeds from Blue Bonnet that are both low in NSC and they include chromium. So that makes them really nice for your performance horses. So those three feeds are called Intensify Omega Force, Intensify X Factor Low Starch, and Intensify Senior Therapy. So full disclosure, I actually have, I've got three different feeds in my own barn right now, and two of them are from that list. So I use, the Omega Force, and I also use the Senior Therapy depending on the horse. So, you know, bottom line on this question, I guess if you have, I'm doing air quotes right now, a normal performance horse, okay, that's ridden moderately hard 5 to 7 days a week, you know, hauling on the weekends, few times a month, whatever, like that kind of average, you know, well-ridden, well-performing, you know, performance horse. It is completely possible for that horse to function well on a low starch or a low NSC diet. And that is especially true if that feed has chromium added to it, because that'll help improve the body's ability to process that glucose. And then that's also true if the extra calories are in there and being provided from fat sources. So I think that's a wrap for today. Don't forget about the free virtual nutrition consults at bluebonnetfeeds.com. So if you want one of the nutritionists from our team to visit with you about your individual program, just go online, sign up for a consult, and someone will definitely get in touch with you. Again, I appreciate your support. And all that I ask in return is that you share this podcast with all of your friends. And don't forget to use the hashtag #FeedRoomChemist so that I can follow your conversations and see which episodes that you guys are loving the most. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.